Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of the Study with C. Martin podcast. I'm your host, Shonda Martin. For those of you who are joining us for the first time today, the Study with C. Martin podcast is the audio companion to the Study Bible Study textbooks and online Bible study course. To access these free materials, visit our website at studywithcmartin.com and you can register for the free online course and download the materials chapter by chapter for free. Before we get started today, we're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for your word and the power to believe your word. We thank you for satisfying our mouths with good things and renewing our youth like the eagles. We thank you, Father, for filling us all with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we know and understand what is the hope of your calling and what are the riches of your glory and the inheritance of your saints in light, and that we all know, see, demonstrate, and experience the exceeding greatness and abundance of your power, which is at work continually toward us who believe your word. Continue to have your way in this podcast and in this place and in all that we do. We thank you for favoring us and that your favor does surround us as a shield. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you right now for the healing testimonies that come forth as we continue to study your word and hear and hear and hear and develop faith for healing. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we are picking up in the latter half of chapter 11. If you have not already gone over the previous chapters or listened to the previous podcast episodes, come off of this one, listen to the earlier episodes, and then come back to this one when you are up to speed. We've covered a lot of groundwork up to this point, and if you just dive in at this point, you might get a little lost. So make sure you listen to those earlier episodes and come back to this one when you're ready. So if you have the PDF pulled up, we're going to start today on the bottom of page 338. And in this chapter, in chapter 11, we are going over how to exercise spiritual authority to receive healing. Now, last time we covered five ways that the Bible says that you can actually exercise authority to receive healing. And in today's podcast episode, we're going to talk about the most important way that a person can receive healing. Last time we covered that you can call for the elders so that they can anoint you with oil and pray over you in the name of the Lord. You can agree with others in prayer. You can have someone to lay hands on you. You can have someone minister to you with gifts of healings or working of miracles. And a person can also be delivered from a physical or mental ailment by having someone cast out unclean spirits in the name of Jesus. But out of all of those ways, the very best way to receive healing and help from the word of God is just by believing his word. Mark 11:23-24 says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them or have them, and you will have them." While God provided a number of wonderful ways for us to receive healing, the best way to receive healing is just to believe the word of God for yourself. Now, why is that the best way? Throughout this course, we refer back to the spiritual law found in Romans 10. Whatever you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth, that is what will come to pass. Again, believing and speaking is how we receive salvation and everything else in the kingdom of God. While it is good to be able to call for the elders, agree with others, or have someone minister with gifts of healings or working of miracles, what if a person experiencing sickness or disease doesn't have a pastor to anoint them with oil, doesn't know any other believers that will agree with them or lay hands on them, and they can't get to a healing crusade to be ministered to with gifts of healings or working of miracles? They wouldn't be able to be healed. Furthermore, as we have already discussed, if you have heard enough to know that help is available in the Word of God, the time will soon come that other people's prayers will no longer work for you, and you will have to know and believe what the Word of God says for yourself. Now, you might be saying, "I think I believe the Word of God in my heart, but doubtful thoughts keep coming into my head." As we have learned in chapter 9, don't let those thoughts remain. Every time a doubtful thought comes, you need to speak against those thoughts by saying what the Word of God says. And we see the scripture reference for that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Secondly, Mark 11:24 tells us, "Whoever says and does not doubt in his heart, but believes the things that he says are going to come to pass, that person will have whatsoever they say." What does it mean to not doubt in your heart? Well, think about it like this. While Jesus was hanging on the cross, I imagine that his mind was telling him all about all of the excruciating pain he was feeling and that God might not raise him from the dead as he promised. But Jesus had a choice. He could have listened to the doubtful thoughts or the pain that was racking his body, or he could have chosen to believe in his heart what his Father told him. Likewise, when we speak what the Word of God says, we bypass the words of doubt that come to our head or even the physical circumstances that we might be presented with. We continue to focus on what we believe in our heart, and that's what causes His power to bring to pass the Word of God that we have believed. Remember, believe that you are already healed and helped because Jesus redeemed you and already took away the cause. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 26:2, a curse without a cause shall not come or remain. What does that mean? There must be a cause in order for there to be an effect. And without a cause, the effect cannot remain. It cannot continue to exist. And one thing that we'll continue to talk about throughout the rest of this course is everything works by faith. Even in me telling you these truths right now, to tell you that a curse without a cause cannot come or remain, and if the cause is gone, then the effect can no longer be there, you have to believe that in order for His power to produce the results that you desire. I can tell you all day long that if Jesus took out the cause, He redeemed us, there's no reason for sickness to be in your body. You still have to actually believe that. The work has already been done. Now you just have to believe that in order for His power to be at work in your body. When a crime is committed, the person who is guilty of the crime must either serve time in jail, pay a fine, or suffer some kind of penalty, or both. When Adam sinned, he committed a spiritual crime that resulted in jail time and penalties for all of mankind. During Old Testament times, God's people had to continually pay fines or offer sacrifices for Adam's sin. However, no single animal sacrifice was ever enough to wipe the slate clean for what Adam did. And because of his crime, generation after generation was made to suffer the continual effects of his spiritual offense, which was sickness, disease, poverty, lack, chaos, and every other curse of the law. But thank God for Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus was the once and for all sacrifice for our sins. And the scripture reference for that is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. When that sacrifice was made, the charges of the offense were cleared from our spiritual record. No further fine was necessary for our salvation or for our healing. And because there are no more charges against us, that means that we don't have to spend any more time in jails of sickness, poverty, chaos, or detriment. That means that we're free. Here's another example. If you had not eaten in 2 days, you would be hungry. You might have a lack of energy, your stomach would be growling, and you might even have a headache. What was the cause of those symptoms? The cause was you hadn't eaten any food. But what would happen if you ate dinner? You would no longer be hungry. You would no longer suffer from a lack of energy, and your stomach would no longer be growling. And after a while, you'd notice that the headache even went away. Why? The problem was the hunger. Dinner resolved the problem, and by doing so, it took away all of the effects that came with the problem. Again, Adam's sin was the cause. Sickness, disease, poverty, lack, and chaos were the effects of the problem. However, Jesus' sacrifice took away the cause and all of the effects that came along with it. I say again, Jesus took away the cause, which means that all of the symptoms and effects of sickness, disease, poverty, harm, dysfunction, and lack cannot remain. The truth of the matter is every person is already healed, saved, forgiven, and redeemed. But if they never knew about it, they never believed or accepted what Jesus freely provided. But once we know what the Word of God says, we just need to believe it. Think about it like this. You get a letter saying that you won an all-expenses-paid trip to a beautiful island resort. All you have to do is call to accept the offer. But if you never got the letter, would you ever call to accept the offer? No, because you never knew about it. But what if you did receive the letter, but did not believe that the offer really was true? Would you call and accept the offer? No, because you did not believe it. Even though the trip was completely paid for and was prepared just for you, if you never called to accept the offer, you'd never have it. Again, Romans 10 tells us how we're to receive from God. Hear that it has already been done, believe that it has already been done, and choose to accept it by speaking what we believe. So let's hear it again. Salvation, redemption, healing, and forgiveness have already been done. And just like with that all expenses paid trip, when you believe and call on the name of the Lord to accept what he has done, you will have what he provided. The Bible tells us, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That's what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus walking. He said, "There he is. He's the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world." And that scripture reference is found in John chapter 1, verse 29. We have to see that Jesus did it. Galatians 3:13 and 14 says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.'" Colossians 2, verses 13 to 15 says, "He forgave all your sins and blotted out the charges proved against you, the list of his commandments which you had not obeyed. He took this list of sins and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. In this way, God took away Satan's power to accuse you of sin, and God openly displayed to the whole world Christ's triumph at the cross, where your sins were all taken away." Again, if your sins were taken away, there is no cause or place for sickness to be in your body. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, "He took our sicknesses and removed our diseases." That's Matthew 8:17 right there. And that scripture, if you look at Matthew chapter 8, it was saying that Jesus continued to heal and minister to people and deliver people from all of their sicknesses and distresses to fulfill what Isaiah had spoken and prophesied long before Jesus showed up. He took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. That's why Peter said in 1 Peter 2:24, "By whose stripes you were healed," not "by whose stripes you're gonna be healed," "by whose stripes you were healed." Just believe what the word of God says. Again, faith is what causes his power to be at work to produce the results that we desire. Whether you have prayed or had someone to anoint you with oil or lay hands on you, or whether you just believe that you're healed because the Bible says that you are, you must believe that what you prayed for has already come to pass. Sadly, many good Christian folks have died because they wanted to see physical evidence that their body was healed before they would let themselves believe that they were healed. While many of the people Jesus ministered to saw evidence of their healing right away, the Bible does show that on a few occasions there were others who did not see an immediate evidence of their healing, but they believed they were healed anyway. They believed that if Jesus spoke over them, laid hands on them, or touched them in any way, that they were healed and that no other action was required. And because they believed that, their healing came to pass. Here are just a few of their stories. Jairus asked Jesus to come and heal his sick daughter, but she died before they got back to his house. Jesus told him that if he continued to believe, his daughter would live. And he didn't just mean live in heaven. Jairus had to believe what Jesus said, even though his daughter had died. And because he chose to keep believing, even though everyone could see that she really was dead, and even though the people that would gather at his house to mourn this child's death, he continued to have faith in Jesus, and his continued faith caused her to be brought back to life. And we see that story recorded in Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 24, and also verses 35 to 43. The nobleman with the sick son, Jesus told him, "Go your way, your son lives." However, the man didn't actually see that his son was healed until he got back home the next day. And that was recorded in John chapter 4, verses 46 to 54. What would have happened if the nobleman would have said, "Well, I'll believe that when I see it"? His son wouldn't have been healed. The Syrophoenician woman that asked Jesus to help her daughter, Jesus told her, "Let it be as you desire." She couldn't see that her daughter was completely well. They didn't have video phones back then. She couldn't Skype her. She couldn't video chat somebody at home and say, "Let me see whether or not the daughter is well." She couldn't call or text somebody and say, "Did the daughter get well?" She just had to believe that Jesus healed her by just speaking a word. The 10 lepers. Jesus told all 10 men to go show themselves to the priest to make an offering for their cleansing, even though they looked no different at the time. And as they walked to go and do what Jesus said, only the Samaritan man's healing became evident. Why? Because he was the only one that continued to believe what Jesus said. And we see that story recorded in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now, those who received healing and help when they came to see Jesus, they didn't walk away from Jesus saying, "Oh, I saw Jesus today. He spoke a word to me, but I wonder when he's actually going to heal me." No, when those people left Jesus, they believed that they were healed. They believed that their situation was resolved. And again, we can't resign ourselves to saying that, oh, that was different back then. They saw Jesus in the flesh. If I saw Jesus in the flesh, then I would have believed too. No, there were people back then who didn't believe Jesus. Just like there are people today, you have the word of God. You have a choice in what you believe. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We're not supposed to be focused on or fixed on what we see. We have to believe in spite of what things look like. Again, when we believe the word of God, we do not do so based on what we can immediately see or feel. Whether we are believing for salvation or healing or answers to prayer or anything else in the word of God, if you called for a house, if you prayed for a house, believe that you have the house. I don't care if you don't have an actual deed in your hand. You believe what the word of God says. If you pray for a new job, believe that you have that new job. I don't care if an employer hasn't called you yet. You believe and speak that you have a new job. Likewise, when you pray for healing or believe and speak that you're healed according to the word of God, by his stripes you are healed. Even if your body looks no different, continue to believe and confess that you are healed right now. We base what we believe on the word of God. And just as Jairus, the Samaritan leper, the Roman official, and the military leader believed without seeing evidence first, you must also believe what the word of God says without having to have proof first. And what word do you need to believe? Believe Colossians 2 verses 13 to 15 that because Jesus wiped out the charges against you, sickness and disease no longer have a right to be in your body. And if those things no longer have a right to be in your body, don't give it permission to be in your body. Believe what 1 Peter 2:24 says, that Jesus was whipped. He took stripes on his back to pay for your healing. And if your healing was paid for, just freely accept it. Again, going back to Matthew 18:18 and 16:19, what you permit is going to be permitted and what you forbid is going to be forbidden. If you keep saying that you don't believe that you're healed yet, you're not going to be. But if you say that you believe that you're healed, if you believe and confess that you're healed, you're permitting healing to be at work in your body. Believe what Proverbs 26:2 says, that because Jesus took away the cause, sickness and disease cannot come or remain. And if sickness or disease has tried to come, exercise your spiritual authority and say, I forbid that stuff to come or remain anymore. Believe what Matthew 8:17 says, that Jesus really did take all of your sicknesses and remove all of your diseases. That means you no longer have any. In Jesus' name, believe Galatians 3:13 and 14, that because Jesus redeemed you from the curse of the law, sickness and disease don't belong to you anymore. And if they don't belong to you, that means that you don't have any. Okay, let's think about that for a minute. You have an ex-boyfriend or an ex-girlfriend. That was somebody you used to date. That was somebody you dated in high school. You're married to somebody else now. You're no longer dating that person that you dated in high school. But they show up out of the blue and say, hey, that's my girlfriend. Hey, that's my boyfriend. Like, no, you no longer belong to me. We're no longer together. Now, if that person comes around and persists and say that they belong to you, you have a choice to make. You tell them whether or not they can stay or whether or not they have to go. Likewise, sickness does not belong to you. But sickness can try to come. But if you permit it to be there, it's going to remain. You have to exercise authority to get rid of that stuff. And you do that by believing and speaking what the word of God says. Now, we've covered 6 different vehicles that you can use to receive healing according to the word of God. Regardless of the vehicle that you use to receive your healing, once that's done, you need to know and believe that you are healed, whether or not you actually see or feel any immediate change in your physical body. You must believe that and keep speaking that you are healed, not that you're gonna be healed. If you think that you're gonna be healed, then you'll never have healing because by your own words, you keep healing in the gonna be state. Gonna be is never right now and always refers to some unspecified time in the unknown future. Instead, use your words to put healing in the present state of being by saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, I no longer accept sickness. Divorce sickness right now in Jesus' name. I forbid that to be in my body. I forbid sickness, disease, aches, pains, ailments, dysfunctions of any kind to be in my body. I believe that Jesus redeemed me from the curse of the law and I accept his sacrifice for me. I'm healed in Jesus' name. So according to your word, Father, I believe that I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus, for my healing. Repeat that again and again and let yourself hear yourself say that you believe that you're healed. Again, you're with you more than you're with anybody else. What you say matters. And as you continue to speak what you believe, the power of God will cause the healing that you've believed and confessed to come to pass. And this next thing is one of the biggest things that needs to be corrected within the body of Christ. No, you are not waiting for your healing to manifest. You are already healed. In the same way that electricity and radio waves are already always present in the atmosphere, the power of God is already always present. Just as man had to learn how to conduct electricity in order to safely get it out of the unseen atmosphere so that he could use it safely, we must realize that faith is the only conductor for the power of God. Faith is what takes the healing and help that you believed was already provided from the unseen atmosphere to the seen. Like a lit match to a room full of invisible gas, your faith ignites his unseen, always present power to bring to pass what you have believed. Remember, healing is not something that has to be done. Rather, it is something that was already prepared and just needs to be believed and confessed for it to be revealed. I'll say that again. Healing is not something that has to be done. Rather, it is something that was already prepared and just needs to be believed and confessed for it to be revealed. We're not waiting for God to get ready to heal us or get ready to do some special outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as His power and His Spirit is already here. How do we know? The Bible tells us in Joshua 1 verse 5, "As I was with Moses, so I will be or am with you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. In the last verse of the last chapter of the book of Ezekiel, we see this in one of the names of God. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be "The Lord is there," or Jehovah Shammah. And that's in Ezekiel 48:35. It is important to note that this scripture was written by one of the Old Testament prophets long before Jesus came. So in saying "the Lord is there," in that passage he was describing the place where the Lord's Spirit would be in future times. Now on page 346 in the PDF, we have the word "there." Come on, think about the word "there," T-H-E-R-E. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jesus told his disciples that after he ascended into heaven, God the Father would send his Holy Spirit to abide with us forever. Stop and read John chapter 14, verses 12 to 21, and also verse 23. When we realize that Jesus has already come in the flesh, that he really is high and lifted up, seated at the right hand of the Father, and that the Holy Spirit really has already been sent to us just as Jesus said he would, we realize that his Spirit and power is here. Think about the word "there" again. Jesus is high and lifted up. Take the T off of "there." Think of that T as the cross. That's a representation of Jesus. He is high and lifted up. And if Jesus is high and lifted up, what's left on the word "there"? Here. He is high and lifted up, so the Holy Spirit is here. We only fail to experience his ever-present Spirit and see his power consistently at work in our lives when we have not heard enough of his word to truly believe it and speak that we believe it. Think about that for a minute. Again, think about the word "there," Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. No, he's not gonna be with us in some later time down the road. No, he's here now because Jesus is high and lifted up. And the scripture reference for Jesus being high and lifted up and seated at the right hand of the Father is Isaiah 6 chapter 1 and Acts chapter 7 verses 55 to 56. As I have mentioned before, the word of God must first be believed before it can produce what we prayed for. That applies to healing, help, peace in all relationships, and even vindication, where you're cleared of wrongdoing, you're proven right, and indemnification, where you're compensated for any suffered harm or loss wherever you've been wrong, and anything else that you've prayed for. Likewise, when we believe and speak that we are healed, the power of God will then cause what you already believed and declared to come to pass. But when you continually set your gaze upon the problem and continue to think that you're waiting for your healing or you're waiting for manifestation, believing in your heart and speaking that the problem is just as big as ever, the problem is what will remain. To tell some people that they are already healed as they prayed, had hands laid on them, or had the word preached to them, they might say, Well, if I'm already healed, why do I still feel and still look so sick? The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 4, verse 22, "For there is nothing hidden which shall not be made manifest or revealed, nor does any secret thing take place, but that it should come to light." Like a seed that is hidden in the ground before it produces a harvest, the word of God is hidden in your heart to produce what you have believed. If you have not heard and heard his word enough to believe that you really are healed, that you really do actually have healing now, then there is no healing for his word to produce for you. In addition, ignorance, along with sin and disobedience, blocks healing, causing what Jesus provided to seem hidden from us. And we see the scripture reference for that in Isaiah 59, verse 2. It's also what causes us to doubt God's word. When you choose to keep hearing and hearing what others say instead of continuing to hear and hear what the Bible actually says about healing, you hide the word of God from your own heart and give yourself nothing to believe. And as long as his word remains hidden from you, you will still look sick, you will still feel sick, and continue to believe that you're waiting on the manifestation of healing. So if you really want to cause God's power to reveal the healing and help you prayed for, keep hearing and hearing what the word of God says until you really believe that the power of his word has really healed you. There have been times when people have been told devastating news and were told to accept that news, but something on the inside just wouldn't let them accept it. In those times, doubt and unbelief have tried to play a strong game of tug of war with your faith. Beyond tug of war, it's like a strong game of chicken trying to see who's going to give in first. But when you keep hearing and hearing what the word of God says, you will no longer let yourself be pulled towards doubt and unbelief or forced off the road of faith because you will know what the truth is. Jesus said, when we know the truth will make us free. He said that in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Your faith won't let you speak doubt or unbelief because you know what the truth is in your heart. A faithful husband will not confess to doing wrong if someone falsely accused him of adultery. If you knew you had $10 million in your bank account, you would not just accept a notice from the bank that said your bank balance was zero. You wouldn't confess that you were broke. Likewise, would you say that you're waiting for healing if you really believe that you were healed? God is not withholding healing to see how long you can show yourself faithful. When you really believe that you're healed, you will not continue saying that you're waiting on manifestation of your healing because you know that that's not the truth. When you really believe what his word says and absolutely have no tugs of doubt or unbelief, no one will have to wonder when his word will come to pass in your life. It will be an undeniable testament of his power, evident for all to see. Just saying it doesn't make it so. What you really believe is what will be revealed. To have and maintain what the word of God says he provided for us, we must receive the word of God as a finished work, and that there is nothing else that God has to do, and that there's nothing else that Jesus has to do. Again, in John 19:30, Jesus said, "It is finished." Before we pray for ourselves and for others, we don't need to rehearse how bad the situation is or even how long the person has been sick, as that only builds our fear of or confidence in the problem or the ailment. The only thing we need to know about sickness and disease is that all of it comes from the devil, and that the Lord already took stripes for our healing, and that he's already redeemed us from the curse of the law, and that he's already taken away all of our sicknesses, diseases, and every other condition that could ever belong to us. The scripture reference for that is 1 Peter 2:24, Galatians 3:13 and 14, and Matthew 8:17. You must remember, before we pray, we must also get a picture of the outcome that we desire. Instead of focusing on what ourselves or the person or situation looks like, we should take a few minutes or longer to really see ourselves or the person that we're praying for, the matter that we're praying for, specifically and completely healed or helped. Then, when you pray, the action of praying or laying hands on yourself, anointing yourself for the person with oil or agreeing with them in prayer, or believing and speaking what the word of God says, that's you acknowledging the word that you believe concerning the matter is already done, not going to be done. And as we do those actions, we also thank God and rejoice for our healing, that the Lord has healed us, not hoping that God will heal us. We have done the action that the Bible says that will cause what we believe to come to pass. And because we believe that we are completely healed, complete healing is what becomes evident in our body. Many wonderful Christian people have died saying that they believed that it was God's will for them to be healed, that Jesus took stripes for them to be healed. But because they couldn't tell a difference in their situation and the people around them couldn't tell a difference, they died because they were still waiting for God to do something. They say things like, I know we prayed, and I believe that the word says I'm healed, but I'm still waiting for God to heal me. I do believe that I'm healed, I'm just waiting on the manifestation. Anybody can repeat words. Even a parrot can repeat words. But can you really say that you believe that you were healed if you believe that you're still waiting for God to do something? Please understand, after praying, if you are still looking at your body, your situation, your relationship, or problem to see if there has been any change or improvement before you let yourself truly believe and speak that you really are healed or helped, the healing and help that you desire will never come to pass. Again, you got to understand the power of God only produces or manifests or reveals the word that you have believed and spoken according to the word of God. Even if others pray for you to be healed or minister with gifts of healing, you won't be if you keep speaking that you're waiting for God to do something before you actually believe it. Remember, when people walked away from Jesus, they rejoiced because they 100% believed that they received what they prayed for. If you entertain doubt and unbelief, you're not going to have it. If you prayed for healing, believe that you received healing and continually say, I believe I received my healing. Not going to be, not going to have, but you have it. Sickness and disease will not ever cease if you keep believing and speaking that you're sick. Remember, according to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, God gave you dominion over the earth and over everything in it. And according to Luke 10:19, Jesus gave you spiritual authority over all power of the devil. Use the words of your mouth to speak in line with healing, not against it. In the name of Jesus, speak that you're healed and that you forbid any sickness to come near your dwelling. But if you keep speaking that God still has to do something, that sickness and disease will try to remain until it kills you. And the scripture reference for that is Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, James chapter 4, verse 7, and John chapter 10, verse 10. The Bible also tells us, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. And that's found in 2 Corinthians 4:13. Hebrews 10:23 says, hold fast to the profession or confession of our faith. Galatians 3:6 says, in the same way, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Hebrews 3:1 says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. Jesus is Lord. He is the Holy One. He is the reason why we have faith to speak. Through him, let us continually offer up sacrifices of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that give thanks to his name. And that's found in Hebrews 13:15. Abraham believed what God said and spoke what he believed without seeing any proof first. And that made Abraham righteous. Again, that was evident and true of the people that came to see Jesus. They didn't have a Bible showing them what happened in the end, that Jesus was crucified and redeemed everybody. They had to go off of faith. And because they believed, they received healing. When a person receives salvation, they believe that Jesus died for their sins, and that's what makes them become a child of God. Whether they feel or look any different, at that moment when they confess and believe that Jesus redeemed them, they become a child of God, all without seeing any kind of adoption papers as proof first. In the same way, when we believe what God's word says and speak what we believe without having to see proof first, God accounts that to us as being righteous, healed, and having our prayers answered. Again, that goes back to what we read in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. This doesn't just apply to healing, but it's how we're to approach every promise that's in the word of God. In the Old Testament times, the priests carried the offerings into the holiest of holies, the inner sanctuary, to God. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. He is the reason that the power of God goes to work when we believe and speak. He's our high priest. Therefore, when you truly believe the word of God, you make a conscious decision to speak what you believe that you have because of Jesus, and that includes healing or anything else. Remember, the power of God is always present. He doesn't have to come from heaven to bring you healing or anything else you prayed for. We cause his power to produce exactly what we desire when we believe that and speak and pray that we believe his power really is at work in our lives to do what we have prayed. Praise, speaking what you believe you have because of Jesus. After you have believed the word of God, had hands laid on you, are anointed with oil, agree with others, or declare the word of God by yourself, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep talking about that problem or sickness like it's still there? Nope. Regardless of how you still may feel or what things may look like when you finish praying, you are going to praise the Lord. Why? What you keep talking to and what you keep talking about is what will be and remain. When you keep talking to your aching back and about your crazy kids, you will continue to have an aching back and crazy kids. But when you begin and continue praising the Lord for healing and answering your prayers, healing and answered prayers are revealed and remain. Even if others around you say that your situation still looks the same and they can't tell any difference, believe you not only receive the thing that you prayed for, but start declaring that you believe that everyone else can also see what you prayed for. Far too often, we can start to lose faith when we stop to see whether or not other people can notice a change in our situation. No, don't confess that your prayers must not have worked because no one else can see a difference, but because you really do believe that you have what you prayed for. Use your faith to praise God because you really do believe that others really can see it too, and it shall come to pass. All prayer should immediately be followed by praise. Why praise? Praise isn't you passively clapping your hands as if Jesus just entertained you with a great musical selection or wowed you with a magic trick. You praise the Lord because you're no longer trying to figure out what your family's going to do if you don't solve that problem or recover from that sickness or disease. You praise the Lord because instead of continuing to focus on or see that sickness or the problem, your faith believes and sees that the problem really is resolved and that you really are healed. You praise the Lord because you really believe that Jesus really did take your sicknesses and remove your diseases, as the Bible says in Matthew 8:17. And you praise the Lord because you really do believe that God heard and answered your prayers according to 1 John chapter 5 verses 14 and 15. Additionally, praise is actually another form of prayer, and we see that in Ephesians 6:18. It's another way that we communicate with God, thanking Him that because we believe His power is continually at work doing what we actually believed and prayed. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, men ought to always pray. Why? Because there will always be some area of our lives where we need God's help, and there will always be something we can thank God for. But it's not hard to wonder why some people don't have a real desire to praise the Lord. If I never knew God, if I never knew that He's a loving Father who always desires to do good for me, I would not have any reason to say anything about Him, especially not anything good. But because I do know Him and know all that He's provided for me through Jesus, I always have something good to say about Him and I have something good to say to Him. That's what praise is, something good that you say about Him to Him. Likewise, if you don't know or never heard or never believed what the Word of God says about your Father in heaven and what He provided for you through His Son Jesus, then you would have nothing to praise God for because it looks like He left you to fend for yourself in every area of your life. But when you really know and believe what the Word of God says, that He sent Jesus to redeem you, heal you, and deliver you, and that He absolutely shows no partiality, you have something to be thankful for. You praise Him because you don't have to pay for or try to earn what He already freely provided for you through Jesus. You praise Him because you finally realize that the only thing you have to do to receive what He provided is to believe His word and say that you actually believe it. The Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of His people. We see that in Psalm 22:3. Why is that important? Everywhere that Jesus went, He was everything that the people needed. If they needed healing, He had their healing. We see that in Luke chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. If they needed wisdom for financial issues, He knew exactly where the money was. We see the scripture reference for that in Matthew 17, verses 24 to 27. If they were hungry and didn't have enough food, He was their food multiplier. We see that in John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. We have to understand that Jesus is not separate from His power. He and His power are one. When He was here on the earth, Jesus was the physical embodiment of the power of God, and those needing healing and help touched Him in faith and were healed. While Jesus no longer lives among us on the earth as He did in the Bible days, He is revealed through the form of the Holy Spirit. And wherever his spirit is, so is his power to heal, save, deliver, and set free. Like the woman with the issue of blood, we touch the spirit and power of the Lord when we believe and speak his word through praise and worship. Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." We see that in John chapter 14, verse 21. Matthew 18:20 says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Remember Romans 10:13. "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." In other words, they will receive healing, forgiveness, and redemption. If you have believed the word of God and want to call on the name of the Lord to accept the healing he has freely provided, think about what healed you looks like, what healed you is able to do now. Close your eyes and see yourself in that same outfit that you have on right now, in the same seat that you're sitting in right now, only completely well. Then say, "Thank you, Lord, for healing me." Whatever the ailment or condition, see yourself completely pardoned and set free from that jail of sickness and disease. Say, "Thank you, Jesus, I am redeemed." See yourself not needing that medication anymore. Say, "Thank you, Lord, I believe I received my healing." See yourself not hindered by sickness, disease, aches, pains, ailments, or disabilities anymore. Say, "Thank you, Lord, for healing me." See your body healthy and strong and more than able to do what God created you to do. See that and believe that you're healed and say, "Thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I was healed." And as you see that, continue praising the Lord from that place. See it and say, "Hallelujah, thank you, Lord, that your word is true, that I am healed. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for healing me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Son of David, that you have healed me. Thank you that you have redeemed me and taken away all sickness from my midst. God, I give you glory right now. I give you praise right now. Thank you for healing me. I thank you that you have healed me, Lord. I thank you that you have healed me. I thank you that you have healed me. I thank you for taking away every sickness and every disease from my body, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe I received my healing." Let his praises continually be in your mouth. And as you continue to praise and worship the Lord, you will experience his Holy Spirit, and his power will cause the word of healing that you have believed and seen with your faith to be at work in your body and evident for all to see. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, lastly, we want to look at seeking further instructions from the Lord. "If any of you lacks wisdom from the Lord, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting." We see that in James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." As my father used to say, if you don't know something, ask. While all prayer is supposed to be successful, many times prayer, even prayers for healing, can be unsuccessful because we base our prayers on what we heard others say instead of what the Bible actually says. We pray with confidence when we have heard enough of the Word of God to believe it. But if you have prayed or agreed according to what the Word of God actually says, and you know that you believe what the Word of God says, and you know that those who prayed with you believe what the Word of God says, and you don't have peace about the matter after you prayed, go to God in prayer, asking him to reveal if there was anything that was hindering your prayers. Now, this applies to healing and everything else that you pray or agree for. We covered this a little bit in chapter 8, talking about the things that we need to check if our prayers seem hindered in any way. We'll go into detail about hindrances to prayer in the next section, starting with chapter 12. Now, asking God for further direction doesn't necessarily mean that you're struggling with unbelief or that you don't believe his word. But it's much like having a brand new car that doesn't start after you turn the key in the ignition. You know that that's not supposed to happen, so you must be missing something. When you seek the Lord for further instruction, he may remind you that you need to repent or correct a wrong, and that you need to ask God or others to forgive you. He might also reveal that you're praying for the wrong thing. Instead of praying for a raise, he might direct you to pray for a new job because that company might be closed next year. Instead of praying for your grandmother's new medication to work, he might direct you to pray for her complete and total healing because that medication would actually cause more harm than good. He might just tell you the same thing that Jesus told Jairus after hearing that his daughter had just died. Do not be afraid, only believe. In which case, you just need to keep hearing, believing, and speaking the word of God, and it shall surely come to pass just as he said. No, God does not ever withhold healing, Again, we see that in Psalm 84:11. However, many times the devil tries to make symptoms and circumstances persist as long as he can to make you become weary and scare you into giving up. But don't you dare give up. Always remember that when we pray, we can confidently go to God, knowing that He always hears us and that He always answers our prayers. And because we believe that, we know that His word always comes to pass and we always receive whatever we have asked of Him. So as we close out this section, I just want to remind you of the word from the Lord. Deliverance is nigh you, even in the words of your own mouth. Keep believing and speaking that it's already done, and you will soon see His finished work in your own body. It shall be a reality, evidenced in your very own life. All right, so we have come through the end of chapter 11. I want to thank you again for joining me today. If you have any questions about the material, or if you want to share your healing testimony, because I know people are getting healed as you listen to this, you cannot continue to hear and hear the word of God in context and not be healed, not be changed by it. Just as continuing to hear and hear the word of God about salvation draws people to receive salvation, continuing to hear and hear the word of God about healing results in healing in your body. So I look forward to your testimonies. If you have a testimony to share, you can send an email to contact@studywithcmartin.com. You can message us on Facebook or Instagram @studywithcmartin, on Twitter @studywithcmart, or on anchor.fm/studywithcmartin. I want to thank you again for joining me today. Again, I have been your host, Shonda Martin, and I look forward to spending time with you next time on the Study with C. Martin podcast. Take care.